There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
This week on The Business Breakfast, we've got a special report on the future of the tourism industry, so important to the economy here in Dubai. Joining us in the studio to kick it off is Christopher Lund, who's head of hotels for this region at Colliers International. Christopher, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
So we've asked you to put together your list of game-changing megatrends that are going to transform this industry. And you've given us three. One of them is hotel loyalty programs. We'll get to that later. The second one is the rapid growth of the new age budget hotel chains, the likes of Oyo. We'll get to that later. But we're going to begin, you say, the top game-changing megatrend is the vacation home business, or Airbnb, if you like. Tell us about this trend and why you think it's so important.
I think, first of all, it's important to note that it's not a new game-changing trend. It's been around since 2008, but it's relatively new in Dubai because it was licensed and approved since 2016. So it's really getting the effect now, starting in 2017 and 18 and 19 this year as well. And it's evolving as well. There's a lot of new trends within the holiday home market. Hotel operators are getting into it. So, for example, Accor, they have the One Fine Stay. Marriott, they just came out with the new company called Homes and Villas by Marriott International, which they are saying will mainly focus on two-bedroom apartments and villas and above. So it will not directly initially compete with hotel rooms specifically. And then they are always adding different experiences and layers to these companies. So Airbnb, for example, initially was just a simple platform. Anyone could put any apartment, villa on there. Now they are segregating it. So they have Airbnb Plus in certain cities for more upmarket, upscale houses. Now they've come up with Airbnb experiences. So you can book a local tour guide. You can do a culinary tour where you're staying, and you know, there's rumors that they're getting into the flight business as well, where you can book your flight on the system of Airbnb as well. So it seems like it's becoming all about controlling the entire trip. So whether it is Airbnb or the hotel operators themselves, they want to get more and more involved in all aspects of the guest's stay in the hotel and out of the hotel as well.
We've had a steady stream of hoteliers on The Business Breakfast and other media who've said, well, Airbnb doesn't really compete with us. Brandy, this is one of your pet
bug
hates
bears.
And bugbears, isn't it?
Absolutely. Everyone we ask, what's the impact? You know, have you felt an impact of Airbnb? What are you doing to sort of counter it? Have said, oh, no. Airbnb, it's a different market. Different type of people stay at Airbnb as hotel. To which I say very roundly, codswallop. I've just been in Australia for a month. I didn't stay in a single conventional hotel. If I wasn't staying with friends, I was in an Airbnb.
Mm. So I think, you know, probably a professional would not be the right person to ask this question. The right person to ask would be the normal person on the street. You know, would you stay in an Airbnb as well as a hotel room? Do they compete? And I think, yes, they do compete. Are they the same? No, they're not the same. They are different in certain ways. Obviously, Airbnb, in terms of an asset, is very flexible because you can pull it on off the market. A hotel room is a hotel room every night of the day. It is for sale every single night.
Other than setting up their own businesses or buying businesses such as One Fine Stay that other people have set up to sort of buy into the market, what else can hotels do to get us in hotels rather than on peer-to-peer lending platforms?
I think this is now perhaps then touching on the next subject about loyalty programs, because this is where especially Marriott and Accor recently have come out with brand new loyalty programs. So Marriott with the Bonvoy and Accor with the All, Accor Live Limitless. And basically with these loyalty programs, they are expanding beyond the hotel experience itself, and you can get points through concerts and food tours, and you can bid on concert tickets and all kinds of different things, car rentals, etc. So they're trying to expand that. And again, it's about controlling that entire journey of the guest. So you have that guest in your program or in your reach throughout the entire stay.
I mean, and if I look at the amount of adverts for the new Marriott rewards program that I'm being bombarded with, the Bonvoy, either in various, when I'm searching the internet, it comes up in my social media, in various websites, watching sport, as I do quite often, loads of adverts there. They're clearly spending an absolute fortune on marketing this thing. I know, again, we mentioned Arne Sorensen for the second time today, the president of Marriott Worldwide, when he was here in the studio about 9 months ago. And he said one of the biggest challenges he's had over the past 2 or 3 years was managing the merger of Starwood and Marriott in terms of the loyalty program. I mean, it took 2 years or 2.5 years just from an IT perspective, but it is so important to them that they will invest millions, if not billions, in these things. Are they really that important to hotel chains? Do they really generate that much business?
They do. They are very, very important. And as you're saying, they are investing hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars into these programs in terms of marketing and the partnerships, etc. They do bring about 30 to 50% of the guests into the hotels, depending on the region. Obviously, traditionally, the US has been stronger for loyalty program customers than the Middle East. So it's a little bit less important in the Middle East.
Why is that, do you think?
I think because traditionally in the US you had a very traditional corporate market, while the Middle East has been a very fast transforming market with new hotels. So if you are stuck with one chain and you go to a new market, there's not necessarily a hotel in the location you want to stay of that particular brand. So
That so surprises me, because we take the Emirates loyalty system so personally. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to get emotions running high on the business breakfast, you just start talking about Skywards miles because people feel they have an ownership of it. Also, we like to get a bargain here. We like to feel that we're getting a discount or we're getting something for free. So I'm amazed that we don't take the hotel points more seriously.
I think it might come more and more as we see the markets getting more and more mature as well in the region.
What about the local players? The two I'm thinking of in particular from Dubai hotel chains are Sirius from Jumeirah, which is very well established. You by MR, which is the MR loyalty program for their brands such as Address Hotels and others. Can they make a meaningful impact? They're so much smaller than a Marriott or a Hilton. Can they really make a dent?
I think it's very different type of business. You can't really compare it to the Marriott and the Accors in terms of loyalty program, because it's very niche. It's mainly for tourists. They will use it a few times, perhaps, when they stay for a week or 2 weeks in a Jumeirah resort. They will get a lot of points because it's not cheap to stay in a luxury resort. So with those points, of course, they might be incentivized to come back to that resort or another resort. But it's not the kind of loyalty program that you will use wherever you go, because obviously the reach of those brands is still much smaller.
The third and final of the game-changing mega trends that you've identified are what you call the rapid growth of new age budget hotel chains, mainly happening in Asia. Tell us what you're talking about, and then we'll get into why it's important.
Yeah, so the examples are the likes of Oyo, Tribo, Fab Hotels, Red Doors. And these chains, you know, they are 3 to 6 years old only. And in those few years, they have about, you know, between 500 hotels, 1,000 hotels, and Oyo, which is the largest, 23,000 hotels in their portfolio. So it is basically the fastest growing company in the world in terms of hospitality, and it's the third largest hotel chain in the world. And they recently, now in 2019, in February, they came to Saudi Arabia, so they're in the Middle East as well, especially Oyo. And obviously they're backed by a lot of, you know, big investors, including Airbnb is an investor in Oyo. Oyo, they do all sorts of business. And I think this is probably part of the success of Oyo is the flexibility that they've had compared to the traditional hospitality companies, because Oyo can do full management, they can just do a licensing deal, they can just give you the software. And they have vacation homes as well on their platform. So it's a little bit of everything. And I think that flexibility has made it very easy for them to take on all these unbranded 2-star, 1-star, 3-star properties.
We're going to have to leave it there. Fascinating discussion. Christopher Lund is head of hotels for the Middle East and North Africa region at Colliers International. Appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.